Hi, how are you today? Let me ask you something. Are you a dreamer? Are you a dreamer? Are you a dreamer? Are you a maker? Are you a doer? Are you a maker? Are you a dreamer? Well, if you're any of those things, you definitely need to be on the World Wide Web. And there's no better way to do it than Squarespace. It's the all-in-one platform for domains, websites, online stores, marketing tools, and analytics. They have it all! They have everything you need to turn your cool idea into a beautiful website. Are you a maker? Are you a doer? Or you can promote your business, sell your products or services, display your portfolio. Whatever you need, Squarespace can help you do it with unlimited hosting and 24/7 award-winning customer support. So go to squarespace.com/officehours for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code OFFICE to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace. Are you a dreamer? Are you a maker? Are you a doer? Squarespace.
Everybody, wow, what's the deal? Okay, what's the deal? You tell me. It is Thursday, November 18th, 2021, 10 o'clock in the morning here in Glendale, California. Absolutely beautiful day. I can't tell you what a gift it is this time of year to have this beautiful weather. We're going to talk about the weather all morning with DJ Doug Pound.
Morning, Tim.
Good morning. Looking sharp.
Thank
you. And Vic Berger.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, no.
Oh.
What was my voice last time? Hello, everybody.
That was your new catchphrase.
I'm going to try it out.
Hello, everybody.
It's going over good so
Hello.
Far.
Hello.
Producer Matt. Controversial stuff from producer Matt this morning.
Oh, yeah.
As usual, texting some opinions that we disagreed with. Style things. Design ideas. We got a huge show today, ladies and gentlemen. I couldn't be more excited. He's here in the studio. I'm just going to introduce him right now. I'm not going to do some kind of traditional monologue like you might have on the Jay Leno show. Going into doing a couch bit with showing the different weird typos in America's newspapers out there. Poor people that are just trying to do a job. They're just trying to get home and see their family, and they get a typo in their newspaper. Now Jay Leno's goofing on them. Why don't you let these people live? People are not perfect, Jay. Alex Winter is here. The great, the
good
legend.
To be here. So good to be here.
How about
Thank
that?
Thank you.
This all began, I've been following you on Twitter, a fan of your documentaries, I think, almost above all else.
Oh, thank you.
Certainly aware of you as an icon, a legend. Of cinema.
Yes, for the capital C.
Three
lowercase.
Bill and Ted movies.
Yeah.
Yes.
Three and out? Are we ever going back?
Who knows?
I don't know. We're not breaking news.
It's late stage capitalism. Yeah. We'll probably make 15 of them.
Was there ever a Bill and Ted's animated cartoon?
There was. There was a Bill and Ted's. Keanu and I voiced this first season. Actually, so did Carlin.
Oh, wow.
And the cool thing about the cartoon, it was made for Hanna-Barbera, was the rest of the cast was like all the laughing people. So it was like Joanne Worley and Artie. It was like Jonathan Winters. It was crazy.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, I was totally starstruck. Why are you here?
Would you guys record it together?
Yeah, out at Hanna-Barbera. It was super weird.
I do VO stuff. I do cartoons. You never see anybody.
That's the new day and age. But yeah, those days it was like the old Hanna-Barbera and Burbank. It was very...
Like a radio play.
Pretty much.
Wow. Yeah. George Carlin. Let's talk about him for a sec.
Yeah.
What was his vibe?
He was pretty understated off camera. Kind of not like Jonathan Winters was. You would go get coffee with him and he was like monologuing in your face with like spit flying everywhere.
He was just doing the VO.
Yeah, but like I just not, mean his persona, his off-camera persona was super aggressive and Jonathan Winters.
Right. He was on.
He was always on.
Right.
And he's amazing, but you just got the hell out of the way. Whereas with Carlin, he was not like that at all off-camera.
Quiet.
He was really quiet. He was really gentle. Really lovely guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi there.
He was all cleaned up by the time he worked with you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think there was, you know, always kind of stuff going back and forth, but he was a kind of a sober personality, period. Yeah. He was just grounded.
Maybe not super, I mean, he must not have been super comfortable to be on a movie acting as a actor.
Like, you know, he was, because
not in his own thing.
It was right.
His thing.
I think that's true, though. With Bill and Ted, it was really only the first time he had done a role.
Yeah.
So it was exploratory for him.
Yeah, yeah.
It was really early. It was just like, I just want to come hang out on set, see what it's like.
Right.
Keanu and I were completely intimidated at first because he was such a giant culturally at that time. And we were really happy to have him because tonally it was so right for the movie. Like we wanted the film to be.
Yeah,
and some of the names that were floating around for Rufus were really terrible and terrifying.
Uh-huh.
But he wasn't.
Give us one. Give us one.
I mean, you know, it was like
Matt Carlin. Just kidding.
It was just people that wouldn't have been right, even if they were, like, I'm now caveating the shit out of this,
but
like, even if they weren't people who we didn't like, like, you know, Sean Connery was amazing, but we were like, oh, well, that's kind of time banditsy.
Yeah.
Charlie Sheen was floated around and we,
too young.
That made sense for a lot of reasons. And Carlin just kind of embodied the sort of weird off-kilter nature of the movie that was what we thought we were aiming for.
Yeah.
And he had this attitude like, look, I don't know how to act. I'm just going to come have fun. You guys tell me if I suck.
That's good. That's good.
And so he was really modest and really, really lovely, actually. But yeah, I don't think he saw it as like a new career. Or
I like the people now that are saying like, if Carlin was around.
Oh, dude.
He would be.
That or Zappa, because of having done Zappa. Like every dumb thing that happens in the news are like, Carlin would set him straight. Shooting people with an AR because they're talking shit.
Yeah.
Carlin would have a lot to say about that. He would set him straight.
I saw this old, because I kind of am off it now, but I was on this kick of watching old Johnny Carson that they show on this, what is it called? Pluto? This Pluto app?
Yeah.
They show the full episodes, which I think is great. It's not just the best of, but they had Carlin on from the 80s, and he was there to promote, he had made a pilot for HBO. Do you ever see his pilot for HBO?
I don't think
it's
so.
It's a sitcom.
I definitely have not seen
it. Set in an apartment.
Yeah.
And it's not, I mean, it didn't get picked up. Let's put it that way. But. It's on YouTube. It's like Apartment 2.
I'll have to check that
Bob Cat Goldthwait is in it.
Oh, great.
And it's just a weird thing.
Yeah, I love Bob.
You know him?
Yeah, very well. Well, Bob Cat was in Freaked, our movie Freaked back
in 92. Let's talk about Freaked.
He was the sockhead. So I go back a ways.
When we announced you, there was a big rush of excitement for various reasons. But one was Freaked. And I was like, I didn't see Freaked. I didn't know. It was, you know, those things that are just like a blind spot. Like,
lovely way of talking about a film that was buried. Nobody saw Freaked because it was not released. But
people adore it.
Yeah, they found it over the year.
And I watched some clips this morning. I was like, oh, this would have been, if I was exposed to that movie when it came out, with 93, I would have been. In like a junior, it might have been just a little too, like I might have been a little too old.
Yeah.
Because by when you're a senior in high school, like you don't have that kind of enjoyment.
Yeah. Cringe capacity.
I'm too into like serious things.
Exactly.
I'm too into like Martin Scorsese movies and you know, but looking back in that clip, I was like, if that hit when I was like in eighth grade, ninth grade. That would have been my movie.
Yeah, I mean, that's eventually what happened is we ended up coming out. We just got caught up in a studio regime change. And, and it was a very weird movie made for a pretty high price. And they were like, what the F did you do? Go away. Yeah. Bye. Take all your shit.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Did you wrote it?
Tom Stern and I, we had a show on MTV called The Idiot Box. It was a sketch comedy show.
Right.
And we basically took all of that and made a movie out of it. And I had just come off of Bill and Ted. So there was all this interest.
So you had a little bit of sway.
I had some cachet and... and they were looking to do something. This was not at all in that world. Sam Raimi had been sort of mentoring us and helping us.
I could see the Sam Raimi.
There's
vibe.
A major influence there. Yeah. Mad Magazine, Evil Dead 2 is kind of a compendium of all of those things that interested us. But Tom and I were directing together at the time, and so he and I wrote it with Tim Burns, and Tim was the main other writer on The Idiot Box, and then a bunch of the actors that were in The Idiot Box were in it, like John Hawks and Lee Ehrenberg and a lot of people.
Wow, John Hawks, cool.
And then Bobcat came in and Keanu was in it. So, I mean, we had a lot
Mr.
of fun.
Mr. T.
Mr. T was the bearded lady. Yeah, yes, he was. Yes.
I just Brooke watched Shields. His clips. There's a clip where when Mr. T first shows up, and who's the guy? The
Randy Quaid.
Randy Quaid.
Yeah.
Another yes. Wow. Yeah. Working with Randy Quaid.
Yeah. Well, that was the before times.
Yeah. But yeah. But he goes, what's the line? He goes up and meets Mr. T. He goes, I think you'd be better without a dick.
Yeah.
That's he goes, right. Hey. And he goes, but you can keep the beard. He goes, That's like, that's a great little stupid scene. Oh my God. Well, we have to do a show right now. We're on.
Oh, great.
We're
online. Okay.
Let me just say, Alex is here. You're just hanging.
I'm hanging.
I'm going to pepper in questions about all kinds of things.
Cool.
June Millington is zooming in today.
Amazing. We dipping.
And who's that? Who's that? A little group that you know I love and care about and have talked about on this show, Fanny. Ain't that peculiar? Like fucking hot, red hot shit, baby. She's calling in. We'll talk about we'll tell a little story about when Matt asked her and what her reaction was. It's very funny, very cute. Let's do City of the Day. Oh, let's say hi to the hothead. Can we get a hotheader? This is a call-in show, by God.
Yep.
Yeah.
Manages to barely be a call-in show. But we have Alex Winter in here, frankly. God bless you folks, but do I need to hear from you?
All right, 317, you're
on the
air.
But I know you want to talk to Alex and you want to talk to Doug about what he's up to.
317, you're on the air.
Boys, this is one of those great shows where the boys are trying to find a way in with their drops and they can't.
No, we can't.
Good luck.
I'm just enjoying the conversation.
Right.
Hello, 317, are you there?
We're breathing.
Next caller.
It's Luke, are we up on the...
Hey, hi there.
All right. Okay, let's try 847. 847, you're on the air. 847, are you there?
Hi there.
Hi. Hi.
I don't know what's going on, guys.
Hello.
All right, well, let's take a Zoomer while you guys figure that out.
All right, let's talk to our old friend, Gray Niner. We haven't seen him in a long time.
Gray Niner, back in the cab.
Wow. Okay.
Great.
He's back in the cab.
How you doing?
He's back. There he is.
Look at this. So, Alex, we have a big fan here as a truck driver.
Can you hear me? Okay.
He's hauling. Yep.
Where are you driving?
What's that?
What are you driving now?
I don't know. Just generic groceries, I think.
Is it a semi truck or is it a?
I really have no clue.
Okay, thanks, Greg. We're losing you.
Sorry, Gray Niner.
I do want to talk to Gray Niner about the supply chain.
Let's get some.
I heard that they're hiring like 17-year-old truck drivers now because there's a truck driver shortage.
Alex, put some psychedelics in your coffee. I hope you don't mind. What about Travis Boys Venue?
Yes, thanks Travis. I think Travis has some Garfunkel talk. Is that right?
You ever see yourself making a Garfunkel documentary?
I do not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I just have a couple very minor topics that you guys might find amusing. The first is, do you know the name of Art Garfunkel's biography?
It's called...
I should know. It was everything is illuminated.
Everything
is called...
Distaste for the
luminous. What is it all? What is it all but luminous?
Yeah, what is it all? What is it all but luminous? It's insane.
It's a great feeling.
I bought it for a bunch of friends one year because it's like... It has its own font that he developed, like a handwriting font.
Okay.
And it's all mixed. It's full of poetry. It's full of these random anecdotes. It feels like he kind of wrote it in one direction and never went back to look at it again.
Just sort of like, why not?
Push it
Something
out. Right?
Like starting from the beginning feels
my
like
second thing. Second quick thing. I was in New Hampshire a few years ago and I saw a local cover band. I saw a poster for them. And they were the band cover band,
mm-hmm.
and the name of this cover band it was the band.
That's genius.
That's very good.
Yeah,
I didn't like that documentary so much. The band document. No, the band document. Once That's We're Brothers.
Waltz. Oh, the new one.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
It was just
the Robbie Robertson.
Yeah. It was just like it was from Camp Robertson. It was like his version.
The Last Word.
I think it was actually called. Once We're Brothers, Robbie Robertson and the Band.
Right.
Like,
it was
one of those deals. Like,
right.
Anyways.
You guys are dead, so you can't say anything.
Yeah. One of those. You can't contradict me.
Yeah.
And Garth Hudson's the only one left, so he's sort of like, I don't want to get involved.
I'm not getting involved.
Yeah.
I used to see Levon up in Woodstock playing. He was great.
Oh, yeah. His book is really good.
Cantankerous fellow.
This Wheels on Fire, his biography is really good.
Yeah.
Could I go back to Garfunkel? I just wanted to see, like, how many books do you think he's read so far?
Oh, he's got that list, right?
He's got a list of every book he's read.
Does he? Is that on his website?
Yeah.
Most
recent one is Strong Men, Mussolini to the Present.
I think he's perhaps prepping for a political run, Garfunkel.
And he was reading Mary Trump's book.
I've been reading Mein Kampf. Reminds me of Paul a little bit.
The lesser talented.
How many books total?
Mm-hmm. His lifetime.
Jeez, I'm bad at this.
Hi, this is DJ Doug Pound in your mix to let you know that you can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's Delicious Meals. Factor is fresh and never frozen, chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Veggie, or most importantly, Vegan. Of course, I signed up for Vegan, and it was great. My favorites were the 3-bean chili and the tangy citrus tofu bowl. It's fast, easy, and delicious. I also like getting extra pep in my step with their wellness shots. The apple, lemon, ginger, cayenne. Oh, baby, that's a good spice right there. When you don't have time to cook or you just don't feel like it, Factor eliminates all the hassles of prepping, cooking, and cleaning up. So discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. Head to factormeals.com/officehours50 and use code officehours50 to get 50% off your first box. Plus 20% off your next box. That's code OfficeHours50 at factormeals.com/OfficeHours50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
It's 12,000.
Oh, no, it's only 1,300. It's only. So it's not as lower than
I thought. Yeah, it would be. I don't know.
Okay.
Okay.
I've read 4 books.
Nice.
All right. Well, thanks for that. By the way, I'm sort of like, I was talking to the guys today about Paul McCartney. Speaking of Paul's, he's running out of stuff to talk about.
He's everywhere. It's crazy.
He put out this lyrics book and he's got a Get Back documentary coming out.
Yeah.
And I was like, he just will, and now we're like hanging on every word.
I know.
And it's like, this morning I woke up, put my feet on the ground and walked, and then, sat down, took the trousers off, had a shit, and then I wiped my ass, and then people are like,
But that's kind of that generation when it discovers technology. Like I've noticed with my mom, who's of a similar generation, she was always anti-answering machines, anti-everything. Yeah. But once you've discovered email and the net, like now they just talk about shit all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's just because they can.
Yeah. Mm. But with Paul, it's
this amazing device where I can say things and the world is listening to them, no matter what I say.
He's doing it in front of an audience, like that's at these speaker series things.
Yeah, documentary series.
Well, if you want to steam broccoli, you just go put it in boiling water. That's the key. And people are like,
"Wow, there's a living beetle."
Yeah,
Thank you very much.
And I always think like, I don't know if he remembers, or he's just remembering what he's talked about already.
Yeah,
he doesn't have the core memories gone.
Yeah,
it's just remembering hearing his own anecdotes over and over again. I'll see that. I can't wait for that Let It Be movie, though.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, anything is still pretty. It's pretty great to have him around.
Yeah.
So want to hear about his bagel?
This is fun. Yeah, this is a good example. Watch this.
So I'll take a bagel.
Often
you have that kind of way. Like, what the hell are you talking about?
Absolutely.
So you've got a top and a bottom, two middles.
So
you can get three sandwiches out of that. So then the bottom.
Wow, I did not know that.
On the
I did hear this from a source, a true source. That
lettuce.
It's not a fun thing to hear, but this came from somebody that was pretty close in the Rolling Stones camp.
Right.
I knew those guys kind of well. And this would be like more recently, but they would say, you know, they'd run into Paul at certain things if they're like in the Caribbean or something or on their private islands or something. And there'd be a little bit of like, here comes Paul. This is going to be a little boring. it's not the most fun hang.
Yeah, well, that was always the Beatles-Stones rivalry, right? The Stones were the ones that the groupies wanted. Nobody wanted to be with the Beatles.
Right.
Somebody told me that about Eric Idle, too. Like, he always, like, he shows up and then he plays The Right Side of Life, or what's that song?
Bright Side of Life.
He brings his,
and it's a little like,
well, there's some famous story about David Bowie going to hang out with two fashion icons on their island in Greece for a few days, and they booted him out because they thought he was so freaking boring. I think they expected him to kind of like swan in, and just like have this decadent wild, and he was just like having tea and reading books. They booted him out.
You know, we love these guys. Come on, folks. Yeah. Who else is out there, Matt? Do we want to try the hothead again?
Yeah, the guys in the back say it works.
And we do need the city of the day. Let's get that city of the day going too.
I like quesadilla.
310. Live.
Quesadilla.
You know, if I want water, I'll just fill up the glass, you know, and put an ice cube in there.
Sam, are you there?
I'll cool it down for a little while, you know, and then the ice melts. Right? Which makes the glass cold.
Yeah. Sam, you're on the Hothead Hotline. Can you turn down your YouTube?
Oh.
Is this Sam Raimi? Are you coming in to contradict Alex on his freaked influences?
He's actually in freak, so he can't complain.
Yes, Sam, you're on the air right now, live.
Oh, wonderful. wonderful to be here. Alex, who made the claymation intro for Freaked? It's someone notable, right?
They're notable because they're awesome. It is an artist named Dave Daniels, and Dave did work on the Peter Gabriel video.
Oh, Sledgehammer?
He did a lot of the stuff in Sledgehammer, but Dave did our opening for the Idiot Box, and he pioneered a technique called Strata-Cut, where he literally builds the whole story into a loaf of clay and cuts away the layers. So it's actually three-dimensional. So the camera's like moving around the loaf while the story's being told through. It's genius.
It's like lost art stuff, right?
Still going. He's still making great stuff. So we saw him. We did a Freaked event at the Egyptian Theater about a year or so ago, and he came out for it. He's super talented. Yeah.
Then I have two other things, one of which is... The most lasting effect from Freaked in my life is the characters I, because it's just one of the dumbest jokes ever to have money thrown at it.
The other jokes
are
much more intellectual. That's
true. I saw the clip. Like I said, I was watching some best of clips. Excuse me. I was watching some best of clips. The airplane thing where the kid gets sucked out of the airplane, then the wheelchair goes. It's very like a little Zucker Brothers.
For sure.
We
loved all that stuff. Yeah, Police, all that
stuff.
Yeah,
Police Academy.
Was like, you know, we were big reggae fans, and our close friend Andy Hawkins had this band Blind Idiot God that did all the dub music that's actually in Freaked. So we were often, I guess in this day and age, you couldn't do that without being shepherded out of the room, but we would often talk in Rastafarian speak.
Right.
And that's where those jokes came from.
I like the thing that happened in Jamaica called reggae.
Well,
thank you, John. You had another question there, friend?
No, I was just going to say, you're always talking trash on Frank Zappa, and I understand because in the 80s, he became a big, creepy misogynist. He meant well, but I really think if you check back to the early stuff and the mothers and get Alex to tell you. Politically, creatively, formally.
Did he change, though, in the 80s? Though? Wasn't he kind of old?
He actually got better in the 80s. Way worse in the 60s.
No,
I actually don't have a big problem with that.
Bobby Brown is garbage.
I know.
Well, I loved what, like, I loved his
Bobby
political.
Brown is garbage.
Thank you. Hang up on this idiot. Bobby Brown is garbage? Is that what he's saying?
Yeah, that's a song.
Oh, I'm thinking like
That's not politically
correct. Well, I love what Frank Zappa did with his politics. I was a big fan of the stuff he went to Congress about, and I was a big fan of his book when it came out in the 90s. Yeah. That great book. The
Frank Zappa book,
And I just personally don't gel with the music. I don't like his music, okay?
Yeah, fair enough.
I thought your documentary was fantastic.
Yeah, thank you.
And, I have gone back to the old stuff. I've gone back to what people consider classic Frank Zappa. It's not for me. Guess what? That's life.
Yeah, but you should do it again.
Okay, I'll keep trying. I'm 46 years old at this. You know, it's like I know what I like.
Just do it again.
Yeah, I'll go back. I mean,
for God's sakes, man.
And there's so much, and I went through and I click on something. I go, no. No.
But here's the thing with docs. It's like you don't make – I mean, I guess some people do. I wouldn't make a documentary because – I love this music and I want every, like you make a doc because someone has internal contradictions because they're not easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like if you're going to make a movie, if you're going to spend years making a movie about someone, you're not doing it because you're like, I think their music's awesome and I want everyone to enjoy it. Like kind of a dumb reason to invest lots of your time.
I finally saw the Sparks documentary that everybody was talking about. Yeah. I thought it was good. And I was never a big fan of them.
Yeah.
I should. It's one of those things where I think I should be. I should, it's checking off certain boxes, but, I don't think I became a fan after the documentary, you know, I didn't.
It's a really fun movie though, isn't it?
I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily need to see some of those people's opinions, you know what I mean? Yeah. there's some talking heads in there where you're just like, move on, please.
Yeah.
But God bless everybody. I wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Just listen to Zappa again.
Yeah, and I think what I liked, what I appreciated about Sparks was their commitment to their own craft and their commitment to their creativity and each other.
Yeah,
and the keeping at it and the consistency of just like this is what we do every day. That whole side of it, and they're just the way that their creativity took them to so many.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do with Zappa. Was like, what interested me about Zappa was like someone making a commitment to make that kind of art at that period of history and how hard that was and what consequences there were. That's what's interesting to me. I don't, I mean, you could not like the music at all. And I find that just really fascinating.
Yeah, it's totally nobody like it. Nobody like him. So I think I find examples of me being disrespectful to Frank Zappa. I don't think you'll find that. I think you'll find me being honest. Grateful Dead's another story. I think that's big con job.
I'm not talking about that.
But the big news that just dropped online was this Jonah Hill, a friend of ours, friend of mine. I would consider him a friend, not a close friend, but certainly a friend if I saw him, would there be an embrace? Has just been caught. It's been caught being cast as Jerry Garcia in a Martin Scorsese a film about the Grateful Dead. And that's just, who knows what that's going to be. I don't know. What are they going to do?
Know that it's a film and not like a 400-part series?
That's what it might need to be. But like, are we, what period are we talking here? Are we late? 80s, 90s,
that
like diabetic coma Jerry Garcia?
Or is it like posthumous Jerry Garcia?
Well, how old is Jonah Hill? What is he like?
He's
40?
He's younger than that.
He's a 90s kid.
Yeah. What's he going to age him up? I don't know. There it is.
Why don't we, you want to clear the decks, get this City of the Day?
Yes.
June will be on in a few minutes.
Okay. City of the Day is brought to you by. This is exciting. Steve Millerland. Move over to Dollywood. There's a new theme park in town, but this one doesn't have roller coasters, trains, or museums. We're talking 1 square acre of stuff that Steve Miller fans like. There are 4 bars to choose from, 1 in each corner, 2 dive and 2 sports bars. There's a park in the middle, a perfect place to trip out, and a peaceful meadow if you want to sleep one off. Whether you're a joker or a toker, there's something for everyone. Visit the garage and work on your Harley or bring your guitar and join the jam session on the outdoor stage. What is this now? This goes on and on. So I skip. This theme park is not.
Try a little bit. Yeah, racing through it.
Not a musician. Don't fly like an eagle. You can operate the stage lighting, sign up for the joint rolling contest, or just sit back and fly like an eagle. There's plenty
of. Is this real? Is this real?
Okay. We can't say.
If you want to.
I'm disappointed that it's
not. This theme park is not affiliated with the Steve Miller Band. It was started by Smokey, just a guy with a farm and a dream. So come hang out. There's no cops, but you might want to bring your old lady so she can take you home when enough's enough. Steve Millerland is open 24 hours and is located in Kankakee, Illinois, just off Route 17.
Kankakee.
Huh?
It's okay.
Kankakee, Illinois. All right, turn it up, dude. That's Steve Millerland.
I like when I slave over an ad.
I just got an alert. Donald Trump Jr. is back on Cameo today.
What do you mean? He was off?
I guess he was done with it. Yeah, and now they said he's back.
Have you seen these videos of him where he's like this?
They're all like that.
They had to pull him down.
Fully closed. Fully closed.
Yeah.
All right, you're live. Hunter Biden, man.
Or he's in the middle of a lake by himself.
Is he still with that? What's
with
her name?
Bag of
I think so.
There's
yeah.
Kim Guilfoyle.
Kim, yeah.
Kim Guilfoyle. There's
yeah.
still.
Yeah.
Do you think she's slept with
she
the big
loves
man
him,
himself?
Right.
You
think clearly, she loves him.
She loves him, but do you think she's
just about love? I think.
Do you think she slept with a big man?
Many,
of
those.
All right, let's give our
hold on. Let's clear
a chance. We got to get our city of the day.
City of the day is
Eric Nooner.
Auburn, Kansas.
Who now?
Auburn, Kansas.
Right. Auburn, Kansas. There you go, folks. Right, the center of the country. That's God's country. That's corn country.
It sure is.
Where is it in the state?
It's northeast, so a little bit near Topeka. So right off of I-70. Got about a town of 1,000 people. We got 8 churches, so always something to do on Sunday.
You have 1,000 people and 8 churches? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's
and
great.
Pews be filled. What particular affiliation are you associated with?
I am not. I'm an ex-Mormon, so I do not attend.
What do you do out there in Auburn, Kansas?
I hang out at the gas station and I work, and just really enjoy the small town life. You know, there's
what do you do for work?
I'm an automotive journalist. So I write about cars and
that's cool
and things like that. It's great.
What's the future of the automobile looking like these days? What are we excited about out there? Who's got the brand new car?
There's a lot of talk about all this EV and electric stuff, but I'd like to see us go back to steam.
Steam?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that a viable thing? Is that somebody looking into that?
I'm not sure. I've been trying to get a hold of Elon. He hasn't returned my calls.
I wonder if we're talking to a credible journalist here.
Well, I see a diploma in the back there. What's the diploma you got there?
I have a degree in English.
There we go. So
okay.
The real deal.
What about a solar car? I think I saw one of these solar cars that looks pretty neat.
Wait, for real?
Yeah.
I think solar could be an option, but you don't want to deplete the sun of its energy.
You don't want to deplete
exactly
the sun of its energy.
What these solar panels are doing.
That is not a concern I have.
There's only a finite amount of sun.
That's like when Trump was saying there's a finite amount of energy in your body. And so if you that's why he doesn't work out. Because he's like, when you work out, you're depleting energy and there's no way to repair it.
And the other thing was he was flapping his hands so much during speeches that that's his workout.
Finite amount of time that Donald can spend on Cameo.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck to you. Thank you for supplying us with the city of the day. Any questions for Alex Winter?
No, I did in high school, actually, in German class. We did watch Ted and Bill's Excellent Adventure. I'm not sure why
it was. You know what? Excuse me. You know what?
Have you ever heard
it's,
fuck
it's Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Hey, did they name that theater in New York after you? I know you're a Broadway guy. The Winter Theater.
The Bill Garden.
Is that where? Isn't that where Cats was always at?
I saw the premiere of Cats at the Winter Garden. Very first show.
Wow.
And I'm still bathing my eyes in acid.
There was that joke. That Norm Macdonald had about, he said, this weekend commemorates the 10th anniversary of Cats being on Broadway, and also the 10th anniversary of guys going to their wife. What the hell is this shit?
Seriously. Yeah.
I don't like it.
Excruciating.
The movie. Did you see the movie, Cats?
No.
I've not seen
Cats again after seeing it at the Winter Garden.
You
got to
see that movie. It's wild.
Whatever year that was.
Do some edibles and watch that movie. It's fantastic. It's a
trip. But I'm glad your German class was showing Ted and Bill.
That is a disgrace. How dare you?
I'm extremely sorry, and I hope that you can accept that apology.
I can. Yeah.
Thank you.
Off you right,
clear the decks. Do we have our? Is she having cold feet?
Of all the films, why would the German class show that?
That's where I was going, but I kind of lost interest.
Yeah,
in the
joke. Yeah.
It was the German overdub.
Hey, Vera Drew's up here at the Zoom. Should we say hi to Vera? If she's interested. I don't know. She might be busy.
How could she not be?
She want to say hi real quick? Vera?
Hello.
Hello. What are you, Vic Berger?
Hello. Hey, everybody.
Hello. Hi, everybody.
Vic got that from me.
It's true.
He's making fun of me when he does that.
I'll stop then.
What's happening?
Nothing much. I'm actually working on your show right now.
Oh, yeah? Episode 9?
Yes, yeah.
Don't Big say anything.
One. I won't. People just, do not know what they're in for.
Let's just say how good Deck of Cards was last night and Exposed, which you were both responsible for. And just a high watermark, I think, for us.
I think Exposed is like my favorite On Cinema thing that I've worked on. It's been really cool seeing screenshots. I like forgot how dumb it was until this morning when I saw like screenshots of giant frogs and like spaceships and stuff.
Yeah. No, it's so packed. I remember we shot it very, very efficiently because you'll see that there's lots of, it's basically you figured out once you have a teleprompter, you can kind of fly through stuff. You know what I mean? You just go like tracking in one after another. And we were laughing so hard when we were just, and I thought like, well, this is going to be so easy to, for you to edit. It's going to just come together so quickly. But then you go over, not overboard, but you go kitchen sink with the edit, with all
overboard.
The graphics. And just, like, it's a full on, you got to see this. It's like a spoof of Unsolved Mysteries or something, but
that's great.
All we did is just take Wikipedia entries from, you know, UFOs or whatever, and just paste it into a teleprompter. And so you're getting all that stuff that's in Wikipedia's, which is like just the year and like the, just, you know, converting from metric to standard.
The box office returns on the adaptation of Whitley Strieber's Communion.
Yeah. Just filler, just full on filler.
Yeah.
What's happening with the People's Joker?
I started showing it to people. I screened it a couple weeks ago.
Greg gave me a report that it was very good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, like it's, I mean, you know me, I hate myself, so I'm not bragging here, but like the general consensus is like, I don't know how you did this and this is going to be huge. Like what the fuck is
right.
So
that's great. Well,
that's where I'm at right now. Just trying to finish it.
You got to finish it. Get over the hump. Any, do you need any advice from Alex?
No, sure. I just wanted to say I'm a huge fan.
Oh, thank you.
That was why I tuned into the Zoom today. huge fan. I like Bill and Ted 3 was like, literally like the high water mark of last year for me. Like just felt like
a terrible
so
year.
Appealing.
It was, yeah. You know. It was a high water mark of a toilet bowl of a year. But I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Vera, I have June Millington standing by from the legendary rock group Fanny, so I must say goodbye to you.
Oh, thanks for having me.
All right. Check out Vera Drew on Twitter and everywhere else. One of the greats. And now I'd like to welcome to the show a true honor. I think I'm actually very quite nervous, so you might have to help me out, Alex.
All right.
because June Millington from Fanny and life itself is here. June, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can. I can hear you. I can see you. You're actually in a recording studio. What are you working on?
A whole bunch of stuff. I have a new album coming out soon. And of course, the whole Fanny thing is exploding. We'll be on Bill Burr's Thanksgiving show of F is for Family, animated Fanny.
That really?
Wow.
How did that come about?
He's a big fan.
He
as
is.
It turns out. Yeah, and he had his people contact us.
Well, that's not fair. I want to be the big Fanny fan in the world. I don't like this. I don't want to be on the Bill Burr bandwagon.
Yeah, man, get on it.
Well, where do I begin? So is that your studio or is that like, where are we?
I'm in my studio right now.
I want to come in and track some stuff with you.
Yeah, you should. You really should. We're in Massachusetts and we have an SSL board. We have two ISO booths, two studios, a performance area. It's really quite grand. It's the magical kingdom.
Do you have people come in through there? Like you have bands come in and you're an active studio.
Perform and record, and we do rock and roll girls camps in the summer. It's a big deal. It's a like $1 million facility after we moved in here right after 9/11, and we started to convert everything, put up yurts, and do the whole magic thing.
What are we like, Western Mass?
In
the mountains.
So we're 20 minutes to Smith College, if you can think of it that way. Mm-hmm. The five colleges area: Amherst, Smith.
Oh
UMass,
my God!
Right.
This is where I'm doing my next album.
Yeah, that sounds pretty magical.
You really should. It would be a blast. Oh my God!
Some days I feel like I am dying, and this is there's like a Make-A-Wish Foundation vibe going on. You know, like because I just like. I don't know. I'll tell you my story with Fanny and then we can talk about your story with Fanny, which is much more interesting. But I'd never heard of Fanny growing up, and I'm a big classic rock guy. I'm a big Beatles freak and I grew up listening to classic rock radio. And then a few years ago,
you got the DVDs.
Your camera went off, but that's
did okay. I just go off? Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. How did that happen?
That's okay. We can still hear you.
Okay. All right, great.
But up on YouTube showed up all these Beat Club. Is it Beat Club?
Yeah,
the
Beat
German,
Club.
Yeah, so Ain't That Peculiar came up in my feed, in my algorithm. And it just knocked me out because I was like, who the F are these girls, young ladies? This is cooking. And it's so good. And I love that. I don't know how you feel about it, but I love that those videos kind of feature the before the performance, seeing you guys talking a little bit. And like.
Well, in the old days, those were the outtakes, but now they're just throwing in everything. And it's pretty interesting.
Yeah. Do you feel weird about that or you don't care?
You know, I kind of appreciate that guy who like focused on my feet.
Yeah.
Did you know?
Well, it's like, also
Tarantino directing it.
Yeah. No, I'm part Chinese, and I know the Chinese are fixated on feet. So I'm that's like, for me very cultural.
Well, what was really trippy for me was, I don't know if you know me. I had a sketch comedy show. Many years, Alex, a fan, as he told me. But we had one of our more well-known sketches was a sketch called Petite Feet. And it was about how there's a guy with petite feet, and he's a guy with small feet. And in that video, there's a shot of your feet, and you hear somebody off camera going, petite feet. And it felt like one of those things where I was like, what is like the universe collapsing into ourselves or something? But...
Well, I guess it's always got to be something in our Western culture. I think it's best.
Yes.
Just a guess. But,
so,
you know.
Can you just talk a little? I mean, so there's a documentary out about you guys, or it's coming out, or is it out?
It's called, Well, it's out in the film fest circuit.
Okay.
So that's, I guess, how it starts out. It just showed in New York, and I was down there for that.
Alex Winter didn't direct it, did he?
Nope.
No.
Not, okay. I wish I had.
He directed a Zappa documentary. You ever run into that guy out there?
Goodness, I haven't seen it, but Zappa was a good friend of ours. In fact, he wanted to sign us, but we were already taken. His lawyer.
I could
was
see that. Cool. Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Oh, I loved him. I love Frank.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Great.
Well, you he was a complete gentleman, and that's the thing I always say. Frank Zappa was a gentleman, regardless what you would think. You know, it can't happen. It sounded so zany. But this guy was a prince among men. He really was.
That's I would agree. Yeah, see the doc. I'd love for you to see it.
Yeah.
Okay, I would love to. Yeah.
So, how did you guys start? Like, what's the origin story for Fanny?
The origin story is Jean and I were in high school, and she had a friend, a boyfriend actually, had a surf band. We were with two other girls playing acoustic guitars, you know, Heat Wave on four acoustic guitars, which, by the way, great.
Heat Wave!
Oh, my God.
Is this where are you in the country? Where are you?
Sacramento. So we moved from Manila to Sacramento in 1961, and that was tough. But music bug bit, and next thing you know, we're playing in between the surf band sets in bowling alleys, you know, like that.
Yeah.
Now we were fit, you know. And then we all found out about this gig that everyone could audition for. See, we were using their equipment. So we all auditioned on their equipment, and the girls got the gig. So at that point, we had to get our own stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So this was late 1964.
There couldn't have been a lot of girl groups playing rock and roll.
No, there were none.
None.
There were none that we knew of. So, you know, we had to make up our own frame because there was no framework for it. We'd turn on the TV and there were, you know, the Supremes, but they weren't playing their own instruments. I mean, that's the difference.
Yeah, yeah.
We played our own instruments and we learned how to play really well. And, you know, we were exposed to the psychedelic thing, right? Up by San Francisco, I went to UC Davis, I went to UC Berkeley. Mm. And so we were very, you know, Sproul Hall and the whole thing. We're very exposed to that. I saw Jimi Hendrix with the bells around his ankles. Gosh, I love that. I love as a girl, I love the bells around his ankles, so I made sure I did that too.
Yeah.
And by the time we got down to L.A., you know, we could play, but we didn't know how to record, and in steps Richard Perry. And he's the guy who taught us.
Richard Perry. Oh, my God. Another monster of the business.
Three albums. And then Todd Rundgren did the fourth.
Amazing.
Wow.
You didn't know that? Where have you guys been?
We're
playing catch up.
Fanny back Barbara Streisand on two songs on the Barbara album, which Richard produced. And we did that night. 71,
Was Rundgren difficult to work with?
You know, he was a bit of a king. All you guys, you're all kings, right? You're all one of them.
I'm easy to work with,
King
right?
Tim.
Right?
Yeah.
He didn't want to work. He just wanted to hang on there.
I think he did a good job. And we got into the spirit of it. You know, there are photos of us. Alice was too hot in the studio, so she took off her top. Uh-huh. And, of course, the red put pasties on our breast. So then we all put pasties on our breast. We had a lot of fun with him, as it turned out. And he did a good album, you know.
Yeah.
So we have a good track record. It's just, I don't know what happened. I think the society just was not ready to admit that girls could play as good as guys. Because by the time we got down to L.A., there I met Lowell George, one of my best friends. Wow. He's here right now. Skunk Baxter.
Yeah.
Jesse. Davis.
Oh, my God. Jesse Ed Davis. He's on all those John Lennon records, right?
Oh, he was one of my really good friends who'd come over to Fanny Hill with his wife, and we would jam. You know, it wasn't like he'd say, I'm going to teach you this, or I'd say blah, blah, blah. We just sat around and jammed, you know.
Right.
Elliot Randall, who you probably know, played the solo in Reeling in the Years. It's so signature.
Yeah.
All those guys were really, really good to me, and they knew I needed a mentor. They were all equal mentors.
Huh. Well, you were such a great player. I mean, just the clips I've seen, like your slide work is so nice and tasty, and you're also you're singing, and like my question, I guess, is, and this is I don't like this question. I think
spit it out.
What frustrates me is, why didn't I know about Fanny? Why wasn't Fanny on the goddamn classic rock radio? Like, you guys were as good, if not better, than a lot of the, and I guess it's what you're saying, people weren't ready for this, you know, female.
I think that's what it is. That is the only thing I can figure out. You know, I left the band in 73, but, you know, they didn't need to stop playing the records or talking about us.
No.
Patty Quatro, Susie Quatro's sister joined the band, and Bree Berry, who had been in the Svelte, she came back in, and they had their biggest hit, the Gene song, Butter Boy, which we did in Sunday, by the way, in New York.
Uh-huh.
So there is no other reason than the fact that the boys just couldn't give up. And let's don't forget, girls weren't allowed to speak back then. So after our sets, all these kids would come running to the stage and the boys would be ahead of the girls. They were the ones who would talk to us about how much they loved us. The girls didn't say a word. Right. But you could see it in their eyes, right?
Right.
But they did. They weren't allowed to express themselves towards Fanny the way they could towards the Beatles. You know that line? Yeah. After they played at the Ed Sullivan Theater and the guy cleaning up, you know, afterwards, somebody said, how was the show? He said, there wasn't a dry seat in the house. girls couldn't, you know, express themselves.
Yeah.
Of course, Fanny, yeah, you know, in a way that was really positive. Had they been able to do that, I think that would have made all the difference in the world. And I'm hoping now that they will. Well, they do to me because they write to me every day, you know, yeah, on Facebook. Yeah.
The music lives on.
By the hundreds, yeah. It's truly amazing that we did have that impact. You know, and Felicia Collins, who played on the David Letterman show all those years.
Yeah,
she told me she was about 5 or 6 and she's like toddling in front of the TV and she sees Fanny on the midnight hour or whatever, right. Midnight special. And she points at the TV and she says, I want to do that.
It's like the Velvet Underground thing where like, you know, you might not have been as big as Led Zeppelin, but the people that saw you, probably you influenced their lives in a major way. They went on to play music and think about being a woman in a different way.
Yeah, I read a comment under Ain't That Peculiar when it first came out from the Beat Club, and this guy writes and goes, oh, real music. You know, it was, oh, my God. And he says, oh, my God, but that was 1971. He was crushed. You know? He thought somebody had finally come out whom he could dig his teeth into, and he could, except we were no more.
Right. Well, I mean, you could almost, like, there could easily be a band vibing off of that style of, you know, the, like, women, like, because part of your brain is sort of just like, well, that can't be 1971. Like, I can't imagine women of color, all women, playing rock and roll so, like, confidently, just the best.
You know, but we trained on Motown. All those backup parts, we knew how to do that before we got to LA. You know, and that's a really important factor that I think people forget. They should learn those backup parts.
Right.
They should do gigs where they're doing Midnight Hour and Motown and you know, Mavis Staples, excuse me, and all that stuff to get that under their belt and get it in their DNA, because that is American music. That's what we were playing. We were playing pure American, and I still think that's our biggest import, biggest and best imports.
Yeah, yeah. Exports.
Exports, sorry. Yeah. and then import it back through the Rolling Stones or whomever.
So you got a new album. You have a new album coming out?
I do, and
is it rock and roll? Is it like, what is it?
Well, it's all of the above. It's called Snapshots. It's got a song called "The Ballad of Fanny" that I did a demo of while Fanny was happening.
Uh-huh.
Do you know the guitarist Earl Slick? Have you ever heard of him?
Yeah, Alex knows him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he was married to Gene, and they have a son, and they were Lee, his son, and Earl sheltered in place here, right here in the studio for like
Eric
8
Slick, right there.
No. Yeah. So the three of them are on 3 songs. Actually, Lee's on 4. And there are songs that I re-recorded that were written at our Rock and Roll Girls Camp. So it has a whole, it has rock and roll. It has a little bit of a country thing on the song called Girls Don't Dream. It has everything. And I'm so proud of it. I'm very excited. So it'll come out on vinyl first.
Great.
I love you guys.
Yeah.
Nice.
Good.
Yeah. I decided to make it feel special.
Yeah. No, you should. You should. Yeah. And I encourage everybody. I've been preaching your, no one's listening, but I've been preaching the Fanny gospel. Maybe I don't have the audience that Bill Burr has, but Alex, you're going to get on board too now.
Yeah.
You're going to become a disciple and
absolutely
push it on Twitter.
Yeah.
We love. And
that's so great. And you guys really should come here and visit. You will be completely blown away. It's like walking into a spaceship.
I'm doing it. I got invited the other day because, I did a little sit-down interview thing for this the Bob Dylan Center that's opening up in Tulsa.
Ah.
They're doing like, there's like a center where all his archives and all his materials are going to be on display. And the guy was like, you should come to our opening. And man, I'm like, I mean, this is what I'm going to start doing.
Yeah.
Is when people ask me to come, I'm coming.
Actually going to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get out in the world.
Yeah. June.
Anytime. Dudes, yeah.
Well, I just want to share, and I hope you don't mind me saying this, because Matt, I asked you to come on the show, and you're like, I checked out the show. Are you sure you want me? It's like a little, it's like a bunch of bros just goofing around. Well,
I'm kind of a prissy broad who's in rock and roll clothes. You know?
You are down to hang, and you are in the club. You are in our boys' club.
If you want to be. Not that I know you.
Yeah, June, it is an honor and a pleasure. Thank you for spending a little time with us this morning.
And absolutely.
I will get in touch and show up at that studio door with some tunes to lay
Let
down.
Let us do it. Let's do it. I'm excited about that.
All right, June. Okay. Thank you so much. Have a great Thanksgiving or holiday, or however you celebrate.
Yes. We'll be on Twitter on Thanksgiving Day. Don't forget.
Yeah. Okay. Wait, what?
Thanksgiving Day
is what?
Doing the Bill Burr thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll look out for that. We don't need to promote Bill Burr any more than he already.
Okay.
If he wants to come on my show and promote, that's good. No, check out F is for Family on Netflix with the music of Fanny. He got there first. Damn it.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Okay. Bye, June.
Okay.
Look at that, Doug.
That's Bill Burr.
How about that? Okay. Oh, that is
we're
him,
technically
yeah.
that's first because
that's Bill Burr.
And she was on our show first.
Yeah.
So we're first.
And Earl Slick played on all those like Bowie records in the '70s that she was talking about.
Is Earl Slick?
Earl
Slick's dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who?
Earl Slick.
Eric Slick.
Earl.
Oh, Eric. Sorry, Eric Slick.
Wait, no. Oh, I mean, no. Is that his
drummer
his,
of Dr.
Oh, maybe it's his dad.
That's what I'm asking.
That's what she said.
A lot of Slicks.
Oh, wow.
Out
okay.
Here.
There we go. Very slick.
Grace Slick?
No, I'm just.
No, wait, I don't think so.
Slick isn't his real last name, though, too, actually.
I know. I'm just.
Let's take a hot header if we have one.
Delete that.
No, something's going on with it.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's what I thought.
Wait, there's one guy. I think it's that same guy from Spokane. Let's see. Spokane, you're on the air.
Well, there is no stream, but well, okay, I'm. Hey, hi, guys. Alex, hello. Jesus. Hello.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi, hey, Jesus.
Jesus.
Yeah, this is Matt. This is Matt. But I haven't heard anybody bring up Lost Boys yet.
Oh,
you were in that
Boys.
Film.
Well, what are we going to do? Go through his whole goddamn IMDb? We're talking to June Millington from Fanny.
I got to say, I'm a massive fan of Ted and Bill's as well.
Stop that.
just twist the knife.
I don't know
what's
going on.
Just get stuck in, and then they just twist it.
I don't know what the point
of that.
All right, I'm letting you go. I have Phil Braun here. I want to talk to... I want to talk to... Drop this clown.
I'll put you back on...
Let me talk to Phil Braun, then we'll take a break. Phil, this better be quick. Phil reached out to me on Twitter this morning, or he didn't reach out to me. He just made a big claim. He says that I have never before heard audio from the Let It Be sessions, which are very seems
hey
very
guys.
Surprising. Hey, Phil.
Yeah, I didn't reach out to you. I was going to reach out to TMZ Live, and then you said come out here.
So Bill Burr you look like you belong on that Catholic channel. You want to talk about?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get to that.
So what do you have?
But yeah, so I got, you know, there's this big uproar about the Let It Be documentary that Peter Jackson's doing.
I don't know about an uproar. It's just coming out. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but it's a big deal. And I met a guy who had some footage, audio tape, of that session that I don't think anybody's heard of, not even Peter Jackson.
Okay, I don't know why you assume that.
Well, that's because he told me that nobody's ever heard it.
Uh-huh. All right, well, let's hear it, and then we can discuss. What?
Oh.
Do you want to tell us where he got it?
Yeah, where'd you... do we need to know that? Do you have it?
I met a guy in Applebee's last night, and he had a briefcase, and he's like, hey, man... You want to see what I got? And he opened up his briefcase, and he had like one of those old TIAC, like reel-to-reel players in there. And he said, this is like from the Let It Be sessions.
Were you sitting at the bar at Applebee's and he just struck up a conversation next to you? Or how did that go?
I was thinking the same thing.
Did you agree to meet ahead of time, or was it just...
No, he came and sat down at my booth and just started chatting.
Wow.
And
so you're sitting there solo.
That nice glow when he opens.
Yeah. Yeah,
like table for one, fiction. And then he comes in.
You're sitting sitting at a booth alone at Applebee's last night?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying, well, how did you get it? And he said, I don't know if they recorded at this place called Apple. I thought it was like Apple Computers or something.
Well, they had their Apple own studio. Yeah, Apple Records.
Oh, so the Beatles own Applebee's too?
Yeah, I think that's the connection is Applebee's is like short for Apple and Beatles kind of combined, and then they shortened it.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Created
a restaurant. Let's listen to the audio. Let's listen to this audio, unless there's any more.
Yeah, so I got a few little, he let me record off of that, and I got a couple little clips of this. Pretty amazing.
You know, John, we've been beating ourselves over the head trying to come up with a good idea for this TV show. Yeah, we've got to do something dangerous or risky. Like maybe put it up on a rooftop and play up there live. I mean, put it up there where nobody can hear us or see us. That sounds kind of stupid, John. Yeah, that's because I'm on drugs.
Good night.
Amazing.
I think you got had, Phil.
No, yeah. I think that's a real conversation such that
weird,
they had.
There were such weird pauses between the two guys.
Yeah, what kind of conversation is that?
Yeah. It didn't feel
I don't
natural.
Know. I mean, they're in there playing, I guess. But
I thought that's in the trailer for the doc, though, to be fair.
Yeah. I don't know,
no,
Phil.
These are not going to – these main. I don't know if they're in the doc or not. But I got another one. You want me to play another one?
Sure.
All right.
Did you pay money for this?
Yeah, $200.
Hey, Paul, you know what I was thinking? No, what? Would you ever marry a one-legged woman? No, I don't think I would ever marry a one-legged woman. Because what if I got wrapped up in some harebrained scheme and find myself up on top of a roof playing with a band? Well, me one-legged wife loses the balance and topples over the building off the street below. Yep, that's exactly what would happen.
They sound Australian.
Yeah, they do.
Learn something every day.
You paid $200 for those?
Well, for the license I did, yeah.
Well... It sounds like someone doing a crank. Some doing some a little bad.
Got
impression.
Any more, or is that all?
I got like a couple more.
A couple more.
Yeah. This one was kind of revealing. I mean, this is.
Hey, Paul. I don't think I have any more good songs to play. Well, I guess that's about it for the Beatles then.
Wow. That's when they broke up.
That was it. That's
when they broke
that was
up.
The last time.
Wow.
Everybody's talking about how they broke up. I think that's pretty much it.
Ironically, John then went on to have a solo career. Had lots of great songs. So interesting.
Yeah, he was. He did come up with more apparently.
Yeah. All right.
one more.
Say again.
One more.
No. Okay. One more. We have 30 right. seconds.
Okay.
No more.
Take three. Jojo was a man who thought he was a loner, but he knew it couldn't last. That's kind of where I get stuck. I don't have another line to come after that one. Hey, Paul, what if I had Yoko come in and scream at the top of the lungs? No, I don't think that'd be a good idea, John.
I think Paul's about to say he's going to put another shrimp on the barbie. That's not a knife. Wow. That's a base. All right, Phil. Well, it sounds like you've been victim to another scam.
Hello.
I'm afraid. Your hair is looking stupid as usual, by the way.
Did you get a haircut? It looks a little shorter than last time.
I trimmed the bangs a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, and by the way, if you're going to sit in front of a green screen, why don't you put something behind you? Right? It looks very just strange. But
it's kind of blinding.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Phil. Good luck to you.
All right.
Let me remind everybody that we have live show coming up in Los Angeles. When is that, Matt? That is December
16th.
What? I can't do that. The 16th.
You?
No, I'm out of town. Get out. No, I'm not. We're going to be down at the Regent Theater. Holy mackerel.
Amy Mann, confirmed.
Confirmed.
Guest.
And other surprises that I do not want to reveal, otherwise we'll spoil it.
Oh, my
Maron.
God.
So that's happening. We're going to take a break. Please
Office
join
me. Office Hours East this Saturday.
Office Hours East this Saturday. Alex is going to stick around
I'm
after
here.
The break.
It's been a while.
You understand
Tuesday.
The drill. If you're watching us on the replay, join patreon.com/officehourslive for more, an hour more show. I think Doug's saying goodnight for us, though, right? You're going to take off?
I got to go to a job now.
He's working construction downtown. Yeah. He's got to put that new crypto.com sign up.
Oh, yeah. Good for you.
Yeah. We'll be right back after a few minutes with more show, more Alex Winter and your Zooms and much, much more. Thank you.
Oh, Jesus. I write
just. Hi, this is Steve Harvey, and I wanted to let you know there's a whole other hour of fun and laughs waiting for you at patreon.com/officehourslive. They're there right now and join for just $5 a month or $55 for a whole year. You get the compound, the jaw hole full to our episodes and much more. What are you waiting for? Okay. Oh, hey, and let's get down to business at patreon.com/officehourslive. That's patreon.com/officehourslive.